Record. Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, November 25th. This is Coach Stephanie bringing you our annual The Power of Gratitude call. And this year, I'm calling it Count Your Blessings. It is November 25th, and it is the Monday before Thanksgiving. It's a little late this year. I was in conflict over should I bring down the Christmas boxes, but the answer was yes. So let's jump right into gratitude. I think it's really important for us, first of all, to acknowledge that we have so much to be grateful for. So many of us have lives that others can only dream about. And so it's right off the bat, we just need to acknowledge that if you are on this call, you have so much to be grateful for. So people have acknowledged the importance of gratitude for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk in a few minutes about some of the recent research, but the philosopher Cicero, thousands of years ago, wrote, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others." Now think about that. It's not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all the others. In other words, gratitude nurtures and supports love, compassion, forgiveness, and generosity. And I think he makes a really important point here that it's much easier to give and receive love, compassion, forgiveness, and generosity when we approach those with a spirit of gratitude. Foster McClellan taught, "The kingdom of heaven is activated by our praise and thanksgiving. It responds to thankfulness." And Myrtle Fillmore, who's one of my personal heroes, she said, "Praise and thanksgiving have within them the quickening spiritual power that produces growth and increase." So quickening is kind of an old-fashioned word that simply means enlivening. So what she's observing here is that gratitude enlivens us. It energizes us, right? Donna and I were commenting that we both are wearing red today. So as you can tell from my cough, I have a little bit of a respiratory crud. Well, I wore red because it's an enlivening color, right? Think about that. There are some colors that are just enlivening. And the same is true for gratitude. Gratitude is enlivening. Zig Ziglar, who I just adore, he was an incredible motivational speaker. He said, "Gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions." So yes, as I cough my way through this call, I'm going to be really focusing on gratitude today. "The more you express gratitude for what you have, the more likely you will have even more to express gratitude for." And I think that's a really important point. Think of the last time that you gave someone a gift and call to mind that experience. Were they grateful for it? Were they happy for it? Did they appreciate it or not? Right? So my guess is if you gave someone a gift and they were really grateful for it, that's going to prompt you to want to give them more gifts, right? And that's just about that exchange of energy. Right? I give someone a gift, they appreciate it. Oh, well, that feels good. I think I want to give them more gifts. But if we give someone a gift and it's kind of like, yeah, whatever, you know, that doesn't make me really want to go out and give that person a gift again, right? The same is true for gratitude. Whenever we can be grateful for whatever is showing up in our lives and on our journey, there's just this energetic response of wanting to give us more. So that all sounds beautiful and eloquent, but where's the science behind it? Well, actually, there's a ton of science behind this. Research shows that people who describe themselves as feeling grateful tend to have higher vitality, again, more energy, more optimism, they suffer less stress and experience fewer episodes of depression than the population as a whole. Now, clearly, if we have a chemical imbalance, gratitude might make us feel better. That doesn't mean it's going to cure clinical depression. But what it can do is just help us to give a little bit more energy to deal with that. Grateful people, I found this point really interesting. They tend to be less materialistic than the population as a whole, and they suffer less anxiety about status or the accumulation of possessions. And I thought that was really interesting. They said that it's because they're just satisfied with life. There's just a sense of contentment around their lives, and so they don't have that constant need for more, more stuff or more stimulation. Then they did an experiment with college students, and they had them keep a gratitude journal. And they said that those that did it were more physically healthy, they were more optimistic, they exercised more regularly, and they described themselves just in general as happier than a control group, because this was they did it, a control group of students who kept no journals but had the same baseline to start with. So keeping a gratitude journal literally made them healthier. Grateful people are more spiritually aware, meaning they're regardless of what your spiritual beliefs are, grateful people have more of a sense of interconnectedness, right? So it doesn't matter what your religion is or if you have one or not. It's just if you're more grateful, you tend to have more of a sense of we're all in this together, right? It's very cool. So Sarah Banbrethnock, who wrote the book Simple Abundance, that's an oldie but goodie. I know many of us have that on our bookshelves, and it's this time of year that tempts me to get it down. She is a big fan of gratitude journals. So is Gretchen Rubin. For those of you who have studied Gretchen's work, she wrote the Happiness Project, Better Than Before, The Four Tendencies. She's both brilliant women. And they're both really big fans of keeping a gratitude journal. And one of the reasons for this, and again, this is science, is that what we're finding is that when we write something down, it makes more of an imprint. When we write something down, it is more motivating. And we talk about this a lot at Your Coaching Matters. Coach Donna, it's one of her favorite topics. She says, don't just talk about taking authentic action. Don't just talk about creating a goal. Write it down, right? And they're now finding all sorts of scientific neuroscience evidence to support that. In fact, sometimes we see these funny memes on Facebook about, yeah, since they're not teaching the kids cursive anymore, that can turn into our secret code handwriting, right? Yes, Coach Donna says, gratitude says to the world, I see you, I hear you, I am awake, I am paying attention.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's beautiful. So back to the handwriting, they're now finding that learning how to write in cursive creates more synaptic pathways in our brain. So many schools now are going back to teaching kids cursive. Again, the power of writing something down. And they're finding it's more powerful than typing the same thing into a keyboard. Believe it or not, that there's this connection that our brain makes. And it's the same thing with keeping a gratitude journal. Actually, writing it down. Yes, Patty says, FYI, in California, they're teaching the kids cursive. Yay! It helps our brains, right? And it also gets us away from the screen a little bit, because again, some of the other sciences is that all of us, our kids included, spend too much time in front of a screen. So, one of the things that Sarah says is one of the really important things about keeping a gratitude journal is there are going to be some days where it's really hard for us to think of something to write, right? There are just going to be some days that we are hard pressed, as my dad would say, to come up with something to be grateful for. And what Sarah says, and Gretchen confirms this in her work, those are the days that it is most important to write something down. And this is where we recognize that gratitude is a practice, right? Remember, and we talk about this a lot because we're all into brain science here. This is what our entire coaching model is based on, is how to work with our brains. Our brains have a negative predisposition. Remember, our brains have that that evolutionary predisposition to search out what could go wrong, right? To search out danger to keep us safe, right? It's not a bad thing. When I say negative predisposition, I don't mean we're cranky. I mean, our brains are wired to constantly be searching out what could go wrong in order to keep us safe. So when we say we're going to focus on gratitude, and particularly when we're going to turn gratitude into an actual practice, like writing gratitude down every day, it is a practice. It's an exercise, and it takes discipline because our brains are not actively searching out things to be grateful for. Our brains are searching out danger. Mm-hmm. So we need to actively practice looking for things to be grateful for. And when we do that, we are literally creating new synaptic pathways in our brain. Sarah ends her teaching on this by saying, the gratitude journal is not an option. Why? Because you simply will not be the same person 2 months from now after consciously giving thanks each day for the abundance that exists in your life. And you will have set in motion an ancient spiritual law. The more you have and are grateful for, the more will be given to you. Apparently, Zig Ziglar, Sarah von Breathnach, Cicero, Gretchen Rubin, and thousands of other really brilliant people agree. The more we are grateful for, the more will be given to you. So the second reason we should regularly express gratitude is because it keeps us in that flow. Here again, Thomas A. Kempis, are you guys seeing a pattern here? Be thankful for the smallest thing and you will be worthy to receive something greater. You know, and I think about this like with my granddaughters, right? I mean, we have a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 4-year-old granddaughters. And I noticed that I give the 12-year-old more responsibility and more privileges, right? Because she's earned it. She's grown, she's matured, she's proven herself to be trustworthy. There are some things I'm going to give to the 12-year-old and even the 9-year-old that I will not give to the 4-year-old, right? So it's the same thing. Be thankful for the smallest thing. Practice on the smallest things and we'll be worthy to receive something greater. So one of my personal heroes, you guys have heard me talk about this before, is Pollyanna, right? I love Pollyanna. And Pollyanna has really gotten a bad rap in our lexicon, right? In our jargon. If you say to someone, oh, you're so Pollyanna-ish, are you paying them a compliment? Or are you busting on them, right? My guess is that you're busting on them. You're saying it's a bad thing to be Pollyanna-ish. And yet if you actually read the story or watch the movie, Pollyanna had a really hard life. She was the daughter of missionaries. They were dirt poor when they were, you know, off in far off countries doing their missionary thing. Their home church had to send them all of their supplies. And if they didn't, they would go hungry, right? They'd have to send them clothing and supplies just to keep them in survival mode. So Pollyanna did not have an easy life. Pollyanna consciously made a choice to see the good, right? And she learned this from her dad. In the movie, I don't know if you guys remember the movie, but if you have not watched it, please watch it. It's just, it's an amazing story about gratitude and the power of looking for the good. So in the movie, she was talking to the local minister. When her parents died, she'd gone off to live with her Aunt Polly, who was super cranky and sometimes downright mean. And so she was talking to the local minister, who was brilliantly played by Carl Malden. And he was a real fire and brimstoner. And he was always yelling at people and telling them they were going to go to hell and just focusing on how horrible people were, usually at the direction of Pollyanna's Aunt Polly, who was not very pleasant. So Pollyanna showed the minister this locket that her father used to wear prior to his death. And in the locket was this inscription by Abraham Lincoln. And it said, when you look for the bad in mankind, expecting to find it, you surely will. And when her father read that, and it is true, right? So I hope all of you right now are thinking about the red lens and the green lens, right? Red lens, green lens, are we looking for the best or are we looking for the worst? So when Pollyanna's dad read this, and this is true of all great truths, this is something, again, that Gretchen Rubin speaks to, for every great truth, the opposite of it is usually also true, right? So Pollyanna's dad realized, well, if you look for the bad in mankind expecting to find it, you will. What if you look for the good in mankind expecting to find it? And he realized that expressing gratitude increases our potential for finding the good and for even possibly finding joy in every experience. So again, Pollyanna, just to put a little period on this part of this discussion, chose to see the good, not because she'd had an easy life, not because everything had been handed to her, not because she was always happy, because she wasn't. She chose to play what her dad called the glad game, which was to find something to be glad about in every situation. And that is part of the power of gratitude. And then finally, again, this is about being willing to express gratitude because it helps us to recognize that everything that has happened in our life has brought us to now. Everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. As Khalilah Gibran says, your joy is your sorrow unmasked, and the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. So think back on your life, right? I don't know about you, but some of the no's that I've gotten from the universe, I am so grateful for. I am so grateful in retrospect for some of the challenges in my life, because they moved me in a different direction that I might not have gone on my own. And in retrospect, I can become so grateful for that. Now, in the moment, not so much, right? So part of the gratitude practice is being willing, and this is kind of PhD level work, guys. It's being willing to be grateful during the challenge, not just in retrospect. We start being grateful for things in retrospect, but the higher level practice of gratitude is in the moment, in the challenge, we become grateful for what's going on in our lives. We are trusting that there is some kind of order in the universe that I'm going to learn something from this, or I'm going to grow from this, or some good is going to come out of this. So in other words, during the challenge, we're playing the glad game, just like Pollyanna and her dad did. So David Owen Ritz is a motivational speaker, and he quotes Emerson. He says, as a man thinketh, so is he, and as a man chooseth, so is he, and so is his nature. And then again, Thoreau, the universe constantly and obediently answers to our conceptions. Your thoughts and conscious choices shape your character and your nature. The universe responds to that constantly and faithfully. Thus, the ultimate responsibility for your life naturally belongs to you, or as we like to say here at Your Coaching Matters, the ultimate privilege for creating your life belongs to you. Now, hopefully, when I read that last little piece and those quotes from Emerson and Thoreau, the four boxes pop into your head. Because think about this, your conclusions are your thoughts, your beliefs, whatever it is you've decided is important enough to focus on, right? And then we gather evidence based on those conclusions. We show up as a reflection of that evidence, and then how we show up determines how others show up around me, which simply reinforces our conclusion. So think about this. If we are focused on gratitude, if we are focused, if we are determined to see the good in every situation, regardless of how it looks or feels or sounds or smells, right? It's really hard to be sad or angry or resentful when we are insisting on seeing the good in every situation, right? And I mean insisting. When we have developed gratitude as an actual practice.
So Donna, are you live? Okay, she's coming off mute. Last week, Donna and I had just a heck of a week. I've got foot things going on and family stuff going on and business stuff going on. And I made a decision for the weekend. What did I decide to do, Donna?
Mike decided to become agreeable.
Wait, the staff is choking.
But he told me he was going to have a Mike agreeable day. What was this? Was this Saturday?
This was Saturday and expanded and going on into Monday also.
Yeah. And I'm telling you what, it was the best day ever.
Says the wife. I love it.
But I think
it was good for him too.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
Because I'm nicer when he's nice. I remember my stepmother telling me she played a game with my dad one time where she decided that she was just going to agree with everything he said and not bicker for a day as a gift for his birthday, only she didn't tell him she was going to do it. And what surprised her was how nice he became.
How?
She said it was shocking what a what my making that decision to not argue with him did for his attitude.
Just a thought, because some of us have Thanksgiving week, and as much as this is my favorite holiday of the year, there is sometimes some pressure or stress over everybody that's going to be in your life this week.
Yeah.
So just play the game, play the grateful game, play the agreeable game.
Yeah.
Play the glad
game.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm thankful.
So I don't know if you guys saw what Josh just put into chat. Hashtag Mike was agreeable. Hashtag best day ever.
It was. So,
yeah.
And it's continuing. And I'm telling you, I feel so much better.
Well, yes. And again, it's the four boxes.
Amazingly enough, this stuff works.
This stuff works when you work it. Yes. It's what are we gathering evidence for?
Right.
Or one of my favorite coaching questions, and it's an oldie but goodie because it's so powerful, is so what are we most interested in? Right? Because whatever we're most interesting in is what we're gathering evidence for, and that determines how we show up.
Yes.
Right? I shared on the Your Coaching Matters members only page today a couple of memes and a post that about neuro says neuroscience reveals gratitude literally rewires your brain to be happier. And I'm just going to read the opening paragraph, and I really encourage you all to read it. When you say thank you, do you really mean it, or is it just politeness to which you give little attention? Notice that word, attention. Neuroscientists have found that if you really feel it when you say it, you'll be happier and healthier. And I loved this line. The regular practice of expressing gratitude is not some new age fad. It's a facet of the human condition that reaps true benefits to those who mean it. Right. And then the rest of the article basically confirms everything that we've talked about on this call, that it is literally good for us to practice gratitude. So just jump on for a few minutes. How is being grateful good for business? Right. We've talked about how it's good for us as individuals, but how is being grateful good for our business?
It's so easy. We met with a
Let Patty go. She was about to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't see everybody today.
I was going to say, it comes out of nowhere sometimes.
So say more about that, Patty.
I was going to, that being grateful for all the little stuff, the tough stuff, the good stuff, the people, all of it. The challenges, the challenging people, the things I get to learn from them about myself. Yes. That's, you know, and then all of a sudden business comes out of nowhere. That's yes. What I see.
Yes. Yes. It's like when we're willing to be grateful for it all increases. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, when, right. Exactly. I remember a coach telling me once, and I was complaining about the problems in real estate transactions, and she said, you realize if there were no problems, you wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Think about that, right? I mean, and truly the same is true for coaching. You know, the same is true for ministry. The same is true for everything where what we're doing is of service to someone else.
Correct.
Right? It's the challenges that require our service. So instead of complaining about it, or for me, sometimes, you know, and my husband is so great about this, because I'll be cranky about something, or I'll be complaining about something, and he'll say, don't you just hate it when people are human? Thank you, honey. Thank you for that, right? It's like, yes, we're just being human, right? But the practice of gratitude can just kick our humanity up a notch.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
We had somebody referred a client to us that has an alternative lifestyle, and they were nervous about me interacting with them. And, you know, this person is nervous. And we met with them on Friday, and we had a perfectly wonderful time and laughed and joked. And now they're really motivated, because I was just grateful to be in their presence, and they're motivated to take action. And Yay. It was just simply, hey, I'm just having a conversation with somebody. Let's have some fun. Let's, you know, give them some unthought of options and some incredible service. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, great also. And just being that, you know, grateful, open person in their presence allowed them to be, you know, really awesome in response.
Yeah, and I think the openness is key, Mike. And I'm glad you said that, because it wasn't something that I brought up, you know, earlier in the call. But gratitude really does open us up to the possibilities.
Yeah.
Right? Like Ken and I have both been struggling with this respiratory crud. I don't know if you guys have it down there in Atlanta, but everybody up here has it. And it just goes on forever. We're over a month with this, where we feel better for a few days, and then it comes back, and it just knocks us flat, you know, for a couple of days. And so I'd really been railing against it, and I was getting frustrated, and I have so much to do, and it's the holidays. And finally I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna hang out in bed with my husband for a day. And we did. We brought our tea and our hot toddies and our blankies, and we turned on our mattress warmer, and we watched Christmas movies, right? I just thought, stop fighting physical reality and get the rest your body is demanding. And I just let go of the list. I just became grateful for the opportunity to just, my husband and I are both so busy, we hardly ever have a day to just hang out and with our blankie and watch Christmas movies. So yes, being grateful opens us to the possibilities. And as the screen says, a grateful heart is a magnet for miracles, right? It just gives us that opportunity. So I just wanted to end this with a very happy Thanksgiving from everyone here at Your Coaching Matters. We are so incredibly grateful for all of you, for the privilege of serving you, supporting you, coaching you, and just being in your life. It's just an amazing gift to all of us. So happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, too. I wrote down yesterday, we are so grateful. for the opportunity to help people buy and sell homes. We are so grateful for agents who are hungry for learning and growing. We are so grateful for the Academy for Coaching Excellence for teaching us these tools. We're so grateful for the Realtor Organization. Our private clients and upcoming group clients. So I wrote that all down yesterday, and I encourage everybody to just sit and write for a few minutes around your business. You know, it's very easy for me to be grateful for family and friends and my home and things like that, but to spend a few minutes writing down regarding your business, what is it you're grateful for? And to be able to say, you know, I'm grateful for the problems. I have job security. I'm grateful for the obstacles to buying a home because it causes me to be of service to people, right?
Yeah.
And for us all to sit and to write a little bit about gratefulness.
So yesterday...
Sorry, I'm laughing at Miss Anna in the background throwing a balloon up.
Yesterday at church, I gave everyone the assignment that starting last night, everybody for just a week, had to write down three things they were grateful for before they went to bed. So I said, for just this week, I want you to write three things down. And if you notice that it is helpful, then keep doing it, right? So yes, write it down. We should have that cross stitch somewhere, Donna.
Write it down. Well, I think I've been challenged to. I think I'm going to start posting on Facebook. I'm grateful for number one. I'm grateful for number two, and just keep going until I run out of numbers.
Yeah. You
know? And just start annoying all my Facebook friends with "I am grateful for." Yeah. Josh says hashtag write it down.
Hashtag write it down. All right.
You can count on him for hashtag.
Everybody have a terrific week.
Thank you.
Thank you
all. We love you. Bye-bye.